You're listening to The Tenets on the Kyle Dempster Studios Network. Support this and other shows at patreon.com/Kyle Dempster Studios. You can gain access to an exclusive new podcast, Patreon only. If you want to hear the inner workings of my weird mind, that's the place to go. We also have Twitch coaching lessons, one-on-one time, so we can check out what's going on with your channel, as well as some cool other things, including taking control of the stream for a day and being the director, as you will. We also have professional gamer status, which grants you whitelisted access to all of our gaming servers. So check it out. That's patreon.com/Kyle Dempster Studios. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of The Tenets. My name is Kyle, and I'm joined here by my co-hosts, Stark Realm and Zynode. How are you two doing tonight?
Hey.
How you doing?
Welcome aboard. We are here to talk about some very, we're pushing this one out fast. This is being recorded on the very 1st of March. We're going to save this for a little bit, but thinking about it, there's some timely call-outs. I'm skipping down a line in our show notes, but a reminder about the Crimson Torch bug. For those that are on PC, make sure you get that from the Crown Store. That's your reward for re-downloading the game, getting the new updated version so it's a little bit smaller on your disc and all that. That Crimson Torch bug is your reward, but it is only up there I think we said 8 days at this point. So just know.
I think that was the number, yeah.
Yeah, just know you're under a week by the time you hear this episode. So just be very cautious about that. Grab that. Don't miss it. That also will be something we talk about here in a second for console. We'll just knock this out of the way to recap all this upcoming news and say that Herostorm comes to the Xbox and PS4 on March 10th. Reminder, this update will save you approximately 30 gigs on your console, but you need to make sure you have extra hard drive space in advance. This is something that some PC players had issues with because the game needs extra space to download where then it will install and then it wipes itself after the whole reinstall is done. So you just need spare space. I think PC players needed, what was it, like a, was it a bonus 120 or something?
No, they needed about 130 total to install. So yeah,
I was going to say that would have been off. Yeah. Hmm. So make sure you got that room. If you have anything you can clear out in advance of it, it'll just make the process easier for you.
Something I don't think I've seen anybody suggest. Yeah. One option might be just to uninstall and then reinstall.
I was
simply
thinking
because
that.
The game's already chewing up most of the space you're going to need. So if you've got enough spare space to install after you clear it, like that's an option. It's going to remove all the local content anyway. And I've been told I'm actually jumping ahead of where we're at right now, but I've been told that if you did actually delete and then reinstall, that helped with the crashing issues that have been popping up. But I'm not 100% sure that's correct. So I'd hate to be saying this and just handing this out without any criticism.
Was that on PC?
That's on PC.
Okay.
So I don't know for certain, but I think that might help.
Interesting. Well, so before we actually get into I guess there's one more point about talking to this. This is to kind of hopefully stem the flow of all the hatred and vitriol. I got a post up there like right away on Twitter the other day. If you're logging in, you notice there's only 21 days of login rewards for the month of March. That matches February. If you remember, just 1 month ago, people were raging because there wasn't really the explanation just didn't circle around. I don't know if they ever formally said it in advance. I think they said it retroactively that they had done a week less so that anyone that was, you know, having a hard time getting the game downloaded and reinstalled due to internet speeds or whatever, that they would have that extra time in the month. They wouldn't miss out on anything. They're not losing out on money or, you know, a pet or anything from there. So they cut out a week and they've done the same. This one's for console players, just as they did last month. So to be clear, I saw some like a tiny bit of tension between console players and PC players, just as an FYI or a reminder to everyone. Last month, neither party had that week, and this month, neither party has that week. So no one's like benefiting over the other. So we're all out cumulatively that time. Just cut that out. Yeah,
it's
go
the
ahead.
Same for both on purpose, because the way that the patches landed, would it be in the end of February for PC and the beginning of March for console, one or the other is going to lose at awkward times. If it was in the middle of February and console got at the end of February, they'd only cut 1 month down. But because of the crossover, they've made both months exactly the same, so neither side of them lose.
The irony in all of this is that the console players got away with a little bit better than PC, because for PC, it dropped during the middle of an event.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good
point. A little awkward.
That is a good point, which I guess is this perfect segue to start talking about it. So
I was actually going to say with the shorter months, I'm actually kind of thrilled with that. It was the way it worked originally, like way back when the daily system was first introduced, daily rewards. And I actually do prefer this because it means if you miss a couple of days, it's not like, oh, I lost out on stuff. And even with the final reward not being like the apex reward or whatever you want to call it, not being the final day in the month, like it was with Elder Scrolls Legends, it does reduce that feeling of, oh shit, I missed stuff. I don't know. You know, like I completely missed out on whatever this random stuff at the end was.
Yes, I saw
on that one because I think.
Go ahead, Zach. No, you go ahead.
I think it's good to have daily rewards, but also I do feel like some people will panic too much or feel like they've left out of possible rewards. Maybe if they've got one day that they can't actually do it for whatever reason, maybe they are tired, maybe they can't get to their computer, maybe this, that, or the other, and they miss out on a reward and they feel the need that they must definitely sign on every single day. Yes. Now there is a benefit to that, but then there's also the downside to it where you do obviously feel like you miss out, and having a few days off of that a month gives you that freedom to go, do you know what? It's fine. I'm still going to get my stuff. I can miss a day. And
I agree. And that's something we need to emphasize more. Well, that's the drum I beat. Exactly. Yeah. I'd rather see, just theoretically, I'd rather see a player take every weekend off from the game each month than, you know, go so hard grinding out rewards that, like you guys mentioned, there's collectors out there that don't really like the items they're collecting, but they're compulsively collecting it because that's their thing. And so they're not getting joy from the reward and they're not getting joy from the input, you know, the exercise that they're doing. And so they eventually go like, well, why am I doing this? And they step away. They burn out. That's the definition of a form of burnout, right? That's the event burnout. So well, I could definitely see this moving and cutting a week out. That'd be very nice.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way it is now, due to the fact, obviously, they're giving us the week because of downloads, I think it's better.
Same.
I agree.
And I saw it on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
The irony in all of this is, because I mentioned Elder Scrolls Legends earlier, but that was a large part of why I walked away. It was a cool game, but that was part of why I walked away in the end. Like, even after they realized, oh, wait, the best reward of the month being on the last day screws people frequently, and they moved it back, I think, a week or so, it was still where I was missing days because simply I'm not logging into that game every day to play. Yeah. That I was like, you know what, screw this, I'm done. It was after I got to a point where I was just logging in for the rewards because I didn't actually have time to play, and I was looking at missing out on stuff, and I was just like, yeah, no, I'm done. So there is actually an element of if you're putting your rewards in for constantly, and granted this is data point of one, for somebody to simply go, you know what, no, I've burned enough, I'm going to walk away from this. And I worry about that here.
If they move to this system of cutting out that week, I will be very, 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 very happy. Like it will show that they've been listening to a lot of the feedback, because I've always felt like there's two different forces driving this. One side just wants people to log in all the time and they only want those numbers, but then they fail to be seeing the long-term picture, which is that then you lose quality people who were actually willing to spend money on the game and, you know, do all kinds of extras. So please be gentle on our player base, Animax. And now are we ready to segue to talk about the celebration that celebrated ? Like, this event perplexed me because I was very sad to see it come into the game, to be honest. The Merkmeyer celebration is now over, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts because
that's my thoughts.
It was good.
It's still got 2 days, unfortunately.
Oh, it's got two?
I'm glad it's over.
Oh.
It's got 2 days left. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
That would have been the end. So, okay, I lied. You're right. The motifs are nice, Deadwater.
Yeah, I like farming the motifs. Like, if you've got an event and you can kill stuff and play certain content and get the motifs, I like that. But
okay, so what is this stuff? Like, this isn't the anniversary.
No,
like, we're not.
No,
we're
it's not.
Not. It's not the anniversary of
two,
October.
3 months ago.
Yeah, October. I think.
Yeah, it would have been.
It's like October 18th, 2018, or something like that, or 21st. Yeah.
So this is a weird time to do an anniversary of Merkmeyer. And
I have a proposal. I have a proposal, honestly. I presented this to chat. This is so off the wall. I'm sorry. I'm just shouting this out. But instead of doing these silly celebrations that aren't celebrating anything, because like you said, it doesn't align time-wise. Merkmire was a really, unfortunately, we'll talk about the quality content because it's actually high, but when this came out, it was one of the worst times that I've played the game. Like, I saw one of the largest fall-offs of the player base, so it's kind of like, to me, celebrating a bad thing. but I have a solution.
You're right.
Oh,
go on.
Yeah, hold on. My solution... We'll talk about this in a sec. We'll get back to you, Zino. But my solution is, instead of doing these tied to event tickets the way they are and like this, I have no problem highlighting zones, but other games have done that in more effective ways. I think World of Warcraft system is one where they have an in-game calendar and they just say, hey guys, we are, you know, during this time that you always know is happening, it's just going to, the highlight's going to be on this content. So if you're in that zone, you just get extra goodies. Difference being, they don't make it some sort of huge, like, shake your friends out of retirement. Like, woo! Like, no. It's just like, hey, this is an average part of the monthly cycle. Our focus goes to this content. If you're there, you harvest extra, you get some things. I'm just saying this could be blended into the background way more than, like, dragging it and making it an event that is not an event. Zino, tell me your thoughts on...
We're overshadowed and oversaturated with events. And there's only going to be so far you can go before you start doing an anniversary for every single DLC we've ever had. And then we've got no room to play the game on a normal day. So I think by the time, if this is in, what, another 4 years' time, say the game is 10 years old, what time of the year are we going to have which anniversary for which DLC and all the rest of it by that time? Because we're going to have a lot more.
It's already
a
complaint.
We're not going to have any room. We don't have any room now. Yeah. I think you should keep the events to what they are. I do agree with the timeline and the calendar side of things. Well, obviously, you don't want to force yourself into being another game too much, but some games do have some good ideas that you can still increment inside the MMO genre anyway. And Merkmire, I think you're right. As far as the celebration is concerned, I don't think that many people are celebrating it. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad DLC. The story was good. The zone itself, sure, very interesting once you get into it. But if you're outsider looking in, it's nearly Christmas time, new DLC, a swamp.
Yeah, that's how I felt coming off of Somerset.
I'm not going to say that the DLC is bad because it's not. It's
no, it's really, really good.
Really good. But
it's good content.
It didn't kind of have that massive impact like Clockwork City or Orsinium did. Well, it was just, I don't know. I mean, it just didn't feel like the same kind of excitement from a player's perspective for most of what I've seen from other people.
Looking back at looking back at Orsinium now, I think that might be a little bit unfair because that one's a lot more like what we expect from the
Orsinium's amazing
chapters. It is, but it's more like we get it from chapters.
Yeah.
Like, that's to a certain extent.
I'm not talking scale. I'm talking
No, I know, but from the way it's designed, like from the way it plays, even from the element of, oh hey, there's two public dungeons in there, this Orsinium looks a lot more like a template for what would become the chapter system.
That's very true, but I'm not referring to it in terms of its scale.
Mm-mm,
more of its
when it fell in the year
interest as a player base and when it fell. Yeah, it was a good timing for it. Same as Clockwork City as well. That was the same size as Merkmire, but it was very, very different to anything we've seen before. And I think the different stuff needs to land when it's quiet, because that's when it kind of hypes people up again. When you repeat, I don't want to say repeat because that's false, but when you replicate an area, that's the word I'm looking for, because replicate or repeat is not, it's not Shadowfen, but it is still a swampy area. Yeah. Now, granted, they did grow that as you go deeper into the swamp. It does actually get very, very cool. It's really good looking when you get further in, but at first glance, you're thinking,
I just landed in Florida.
It's some mud huts, and I don't know what to do now. And now it's an anniversary. I've got to celebrate mud huts. That's not truly how it is, but it does, for players that aren't that experienced, that's how it feels. And at the wrong time of the year as well. Like, we had it October, November. We now get the anniversary at the end of February, beginning of March. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize something's wrong here.
Actually, that's a funny thought. And this is like, it's going to loop back to something we were wanting to discuss elsewhere. But I wonder if Merkmire would have been better suited if it had been a quarter one, where it was like, instead of putting it ahead of Christmas, where it's like, oh yeah, no, we're getting into, you know, winter part of the year. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, things are getting colder. And then here, have a swamp, as opposed to, you know, it's been winter for a while.
I think
have a swamp.
Well,
It's this very weird subjective thing, but I kind of wonder if that wouldn't have helped.
I think they were just clearing out old inventory, right? Though, because like, well, this was the end of the content that they had probably produced that wasn't tied to a year long thing. And as you pointed out months ago in the podcast, Ark, that Merkmeyer was probably literally sitting simmering on the stove since 2015, 16 or something. Because it
2015, yeah.
Well, it's in that game.
It's a different zone from the one from that QuakeCon video, but it was a zone that was in works back then. And even like I wasn't there. I didn't see the thing that I think Ninja subsequently posted about after it was announced. I know what
the problem is.
But go for it.
I think I know what the problem is. You just nailed it with the Q1 stuff. What does the Q1 do at the moment as far as the content is concerned?
Dungeons and get overlooked.
It starts a story.
Oh.
Merkmeyer felt like a start of a story, and then it ended.
Oh, that's actually true. I could see that.
Would have landed on Q1 much, much better. You are right.
The idea of going and approaching Merkmeyer from the coast and the way we did actually does... Yeah, you're right. I could agree that Merkmeyer feels more like a lead-up. I mean...
Yeah, feels like an introduction to something more, and then I don't think we got the something more.
We didn't.
Should we just talk about the elephant in the room right now, which is that I think most of us are fairly most of the three of us are fairly unhappy at this point with the... Maybe unhappy is the wrong word, because we're not losing our minds over it, but we'd love to see a change to the release cycle, because as it's going right now, it's not that it's bad. It really isn't. I would say in many ways, in my opinion, better than other games, but it is not maximizing its potential by any means, and that's what we're calling out. I'm not saying this is a shitty release. I'm saying you did fine, but holy crap, you also only sold out a small club when you could have sold out a stadium. Like, what?
Yeah, I think they mistimed it. I think it was not... I don't know how to describe it. I'm in agreement that it didn't have an impact that it should have done.
Well, yeah. Let's talk...
Actually, this is me looping back a little bit. But one of the funny things about Merkmeyer, and this was what I was starting to go into, and then I was like, well, wait, I need to figure out how to phrase this. But for... a feeling of resolution with Merkmeyer thematically and visually. The irony is that the Shadow of the Hiss dungeons fit a lot better with Merkmeyer.
Oh, they were fantastic. And they landed just right as well. Just towards the end or mid kind of summer autumn area.
I'm talking about taking them out of when they are. I'm talking about taking them out of where they are and actually saying, like, okay, you play Merkmeyer and then you do these two.
That would have landed very well.
Yeah.
In any order, preferably Merkmeyer first, obviously, because that does feel like a start. That would have been great to go through kind of the Black Marsh area. You go straight through from the beach. You go deeper into the swampy, boggy crap. And then all of a sudden, there's some really dense areas where there are some really horrible dungeons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would have been a perfect complementary release one after the other.
Yeah,
and then people would have received Merkmeyer as a really good DLC, because in essence it is. I mean, the story's good, the zone is good once you get into it. That would have been received a lot better, and people would have deliberately pointed out that they enjoy that one more than just writing off as, oh, it's that again.
Yeah, and of course, as it was, I think it dropped right after Gold Coast, in my sequence, right?
Yeah, Gold, if you're talking the DLC side of things, as far as areas are concerned,
I think it landed after Gold Coast. So it's like, this is obviously, now the point when we've been talking about this.
Was it Gold Coast or Clockwork?
Well,
It was Gold Coast.
Clockwork is years later. It's a little unfair to talk about this way, because, again, when they were working on Merkmeyer originally, that was going to be the zone directly south of Shadowfen, and it was actually going to connect to the southern edges of Cyrodiil. So it was actually, it was a very different location even. And the content that was developed there was, we assume, very different. I don't think anybody outside the company's ever really seen the original shape of Merkmeyer. So the Merkmeyer we got 2 years ago was actually a space that was designed specifically there. It was not like they had this stuff sitting in the microwave for 2.5 years and then, okay, well, we'll cough this up. But there is certainly an element that this was something that they talked about and it had in design. And we saw assets that were, I think, originally designed for Merkmeyer. Like, they certainly were all over the place there, and they first showed up in that QuakeCon video. We were seeing those as early as Shadow of the Hist, and then housing brought them back also, because like the volcanic island getaway
has that same
architecture going on.
Yes, it does.
So good call out. It's like this was something that was floating around for a while, obviously, but it's not like, oh, hey, they just warmed this stuff over. I do think they probably would have been better putting Merkmire as it is now much earlier in dev.
I mean, that does beg the question of how they tackle subjects. I think I heard one of the two of you say this earlier. Maybe it was Zynode really beating this drum that it didn't feel seasonal to have a swamp right ahead of Christmas. And I agree with that. But also, you know, how do they balance going to a yearly cycle, keeping a storyline and throwing them seasonally? Because I'm in agreement. Like, I agree. I would have rather had the swamp around summer or something, like leading into like bog, like the idea of warmer, humid, you know, not snow, Santa and the rest. But how do you do that when you're telling a year-long story? That's tricky.
Well, they did well with Dragonhold in the respect that it didn't necessarily have a full seasonal feel to it.
Clockwork
didn't, so it fit. It was fine. But if you are going to represent or demonstrate a kind of feel for a location, and you're trying to make people understand, or this is humid as this, and this is dark as this, or dangerous as this, and you're trying to get them to feel what it's like to physically be there, timing it while everything is freezing cold doesn't work.
Yeah.
So the other DLCs didn't have any of that. They weren't tied into kind of imagine if you were here. There was, as far as the game was concerned, but there was no atmospheric feel that you're supposed to understand. This one was very aesthetic, which is really, really good. They did pass that off very well, but it was confusing because of the time.
Mm-hmm. I guess we should take a step back and talk why we are addressing the cycle of releases. And that is that Herastorm, in my opinion, some of the best dungeons. They honestly took my top two. Raving about this, especially if you listen last week, like we're gushing all over Finn with these ones. But it feels like it was overlooked to me. Like, I didn't feel very much Herastorm hype. I don't really know that I mean, I would say Twitch numbers were very good. I'd say their people were interested. But I think people are still eyes set on the future, and there was a lot of confusion. Is this the content that's coming? No, this is the pre-DLC. Okay. I didn't see any people really looking to buy the game this time around either, so I don't think this did what they wanted it to do.
I would say that the dungeons are quite possibly some of the best dungeon content we have ever seen, if not the best so far.
I agree.
And although I don't want Finn to get his head any bigger, they did a very, very good job with this. I'm extremely impressed with what they've done. However, there is more hype about a vampire and Skyrim, and rightly so, than there is about what a Harrowstorm is. I don't think there's a big, oh my God, I can't wait to find out about the Witch's Coven and the Harrowstorm in comparison to where the hell are the vampires?
Well, the Witch's Coven is...
The new stuff is much more anticipated, which is a good thing. It's good to have anticipation for new content, but I think it may be, like Kyle said initially, I think it may be slightly overshadowed because of that. It's very hard to push something this important if people are looking too far into the future. I do think you're right in saying it was received quite well. I mean, numbers did show. But I think if you're trying to be the one telling the story, I think you might feel a little underwhelmed that you're like, hey, here's some witches and stuff. And like, I don't care, where's the vampire?
Well, that's the hard part too, because the Witch's Coven... Well, okay, there's two things, but one is the Witch's Coven's carryover from a base game dungeon, which is great. It's one of the ones that never got a second copy. Uh-huh. Like, there's no...
So it's got some there is cool no, nostalgia.
Dire
Which is really cool,
but
it's still the same problem of trying to sell something, even as a follow-up, trying to sell something that came back from a long time ago. And that's unfortunate because it is a really good dungeon. But I think that's part of the problem here, especially when they're... The next thing they're teasing ironically, even though it is, I don't want to say recycled, it is another nostalgia trip for people.
Sure. Yeah.
Much in the same way that Morrowind was, because we're going back to Skyrim.
It's amazing. Don't you dare say a bad word about it.
I love it. Hey, my first exposure to Tamriel was in Saint Denis. But
I had a meltdown there the other night. I had a meltdown there. Gan made me go and try and quest through it, and I just finally let loose, and I was like, I hate this zone so much, and I just left. I rage quit just because looking at the mushrooms, I was like, I can't stand it, and I just bailed. Sorry, that I had to talk about my trauma.
They look down on you.
What was your second issue? You had a second one, Stark.
Well, we've also got the vampire change coming through. Like, we've got a lot of stuff coming up where it's like, look at this stuff. Look at the stuff that's being announced. We've got a balance change for vampires. We've got these zones that are really easy to hype.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we're getting Blackreach. We're getting, zones like Blackreach. We're getting Solitude. You're going to see Solitude. How excited is Casual Ranger right now for Solitude? And what are the odds that he explodes due to that excitement? Just all over the walls.
They're quite high.
He's already done it a couple times, I'm sure. can we talk about I think this ties equally into what's missing. Can we talk about what's missing right now?
Yeah, talk about what's missing.
Let's talk about the biggest thing that I find to be missing about this is there are no Herastorms in Herastorm, because Herastorms come in Greymoor. Yeah. And that's a weird when they were explaining it to me, it makes sense. Like, when you hear it, like, you're like, oh, okay, so Herastorms are some sort of dolmen replacement that comes with Greymoor. It's the incursion, but we don't have them here, but this is titled Herastorm because I think the witches are channeling the Herastorm or something. I don't really know. I'm not sure either.
Okay,
it's just, I think you're right in that respect. I don't know if they could ever do anything like that. I don't know if they'd have time to do it, especially with the fact that this particular update is massive on performance. So that obviously took a lot of time and effort to get that in, as well as the DLC itself. But these dungeon DLCs, when something this important comes up, it would be nice to have something very, very small in terms of overland that you go to perhaps after you've completed them to have the interaction with this new thing that has happened.
Did the prologue quest go live?
It does a little bit, but I mean,
extended. No, I mean, it's on there now. Like, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't think is it? I don't think it is live yet.
Okay. Don't think so.
I think they want to save it, but I'm not sure.
I don't think the prologue is what really counts for stuff like that, especially when you're purchasing perhaps a DLC or having it as part of your Eraser Plus. I think that should be extended as part of the DLC to say, look, now that you've got these two, here's this small area of overland. There's a few quests and so, and now you can interact with this thing.
Well, this
you
is...
You could argue that the prologue does do some of that, but I don't think that's enough.
Same.
It does, but it's not, like you said. Because this is the irony. Like, we went through this with Ranger, and specifically we were doing this slowly so that we could see the story, because he wanted to get the lore. And I can't remember any connection to the Herastorm popping up. I was not on a character that had killed Lyris, so I obviously didn't get any dialogue on that. But yeah, it was a weird situation, because it's like, there's obviously stories going on here, but I don't see how they connect to the season. I don't see how they connect to Dark Artist to Skyrim. Aside from one of them being, you know, in Skyrim.
Yeah,
and that's in contrast to last year.
Future stuff, but I don't necessarily think we have enough.
Yeah. And it would have been, I don't know, it's like a hard thing to say. Like, what should this have been titled if it wasn't Herastorm? But it's
very true.
It's very strange. And I think you're...
The Coven.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be a ton of names.
Dark Secrets or something, yeah.
I'm sure they could come up with a trillion, yeah.
Yeah, no. But I think you're also right, Zai. Like, these things really do need to get bundled in with narrative content in Overland, whether that's gated by having to complete the dungeons or not. It's like, you could either way on that, but...
But even if it's an instance area, like some of your quests are, because some of the never get to on the map unless you do the quests. And I would like an extension of the dungeons during the same DLC to say, look, here's a special area if you've done all this, and now you get to find out more.
Well, that's something that's been asked for a while. in various circles, but people asking for content like single player versions of the dungeons. But that would be one thing you could do, is reuse the dungeon map as separate single player content, specifically narratively focused, as a one shot thing. You can go through here once. It's not the story of the dungeon. It's not the dungeon experience. It's, you know, something adjacent to the dungeon.
Well, they do have the story in the dungeon, which I do really like how they've gone about it. They've still kept to that NPC going with you and kind of explain along the way, so you feel like you're with them. But yeah, the whole here's a Harrowstorm DLC and you're getting Harrowstormed later.
I think incursions are a very popular mechanic in player bases. I think that's something that's always done very well. And I do not mean the way incursions are implemented in the game right now. I think our incursions are actually, sorry, Zoss, you guys can go check the dragons right now. They're pretty sitting there, is what I've been told by a bunch of people. They don't do super well outside of any events or seasons and things like that. They're a quick burn, and then people stop doing dolmens and stuff the way they are. They don't feel like real incursions. And I wonder if they're kind of trying to mess with this, because they did the whole thing with dragons above the cities last year, and that was really neat to see for a bit.
That was cool as hell.
I would have rather been fighting the dragons above cities. I know that would have changed.
Yeah,
had to change
to attack Ratwood and kill the gods.
Yeah, like, I'm just saying, if they were but I know they couldn't. Well, it's weird. They said they didn't want the dragons everywhere, and then the dragons showed up everywhere. It was a small incursion. Yeah. But then it's everywhere. So it's confusing in that way. But like, I would like to see, I always call back to Wrath of the Lich King. A lot of people do. There was some really good stuff implemented then, where like you were getting attacked by the boss of the next chapter before it had even launched. Like, they're, you know, sending troops to go attack the capital cities. Like, whoa, that was a big deal. And it really got you into the mood. I don't think the prologue, I mean, like you said, the prologue's not really it in general, but it's definitely not for me. I don't really enjoy going through there and doing that little quest and then going, okay, now I wait. I'd rather them maybe implement some systems that start building up to the new thing. And this takes me to a larger idea, that if they are set on doing these year-long pieces of content off of the idea, or sticking back with the idea we had about shifting the cycle, it may be time to start thinking about these as not just individual DLCs that must check all of these boxes versus growing this to be something beyond that, where like money wise looking at this, you want to be selling the entire year, and that's why they're turning them into chapters. So it might be time to start implementing things outside of the norm, still do a little bit of a flashy release for it, but let's be fair, Harrowstorm, Merkmire, these are all great examples of things that were released, didn't get the appropriate social media support that it deserved, and was forgotten about 2 minutes later. And it just doesn't do justice.
A good amount of attention, but
I think so too, to be
quite
fair.
Possibly for the reason that Greymoor's coming. I mean, that is a positive thing as far as marketing is concerned, because you get the hype here and then you get the hype later, which is great. But again, like I said, I think people are anticipating something rather than jumping on the hype wagon of what we have.
And that's a missed opportunity, because this should be the one that they're already excited to jump on board. And like you said,
and then be hyped for the next
one. This is the one that's getting them ready to hop onto the next one. And that means they're missing a train, like they're missing a car. Like, you're like, no, we need to get on this one now.
Yeah,
it's like, good content.
You're going to get in a really shiny limo now, and then you're going to get on a private jet.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's brilliant. But instead, just get in the car. We're going to the jet later.
Right.
There's no... I don't want to give it a bad name, because I've got one in my opinion, but I do think that it could have been received a little better. And I think a lot of it is literally the new content overshadowing what we're now getting.
Yeah.
Well, can we start swinging this to talk a little bit about, we're getting to this point in time anyway, we'll swing this to talk a little bit about PAX, because they just did this, they just got up on stage at PAX, they did a stage presentation, so the Zoss crew was up there, they did...
Now I'm going to contradict myself.
Rich versus Finn on the show, they had people from the audience come up and answer a bunch of questions. I actually personally really liked this, but you know what I noticed there wasn't, was a lot of Harrowstorm talk. Like,
correct.
I didn't see any promotion. Was there any?
And that would have been the perfect time to do it. And this is exactly what I mean. we've got this issue, obviously, knowing that full well Greymoor's coming. Everyone's excited for it. That's perfect. Harrowstorm, not quite as excited, but obviously receiving it very well because it's new. They could have plugged it a little bit there.
I don't think they plugged it once.
A little bit of hype because they didn't. And it, this is the bit. I like the quiz they did. It was really fun. It was great to see the developers involved in with the community and doing that kind of stuff, battle against each other, realizing they're only human. Even though they make the game, they still can't get all the questions right. Stuff like that. It was funny. And then there could have been, instead of a trailer at the beginning of the end, because most people have watched the trailer at the beginning because they're waiting for it to start, and most people didn't watch the trailer at the end because it's finished. I think there should have been some stuff in between because it's like, this is live now, by the way. This is now on the servers. You should be excited. And it didn't feel like there was any push for that. It felt like there was just, hi, we're here, which is great. It was really funny, but I think they should have plugged something. I wanted some juice.
So to whomever is at ZeniMax taking notes on this episode, this is all out of love. Like, really, again, I think Harrowstorm, they're my favorite dungeons. And I sit there with a smile on my face. No offense to Finn and the crew, but last year's dungeons didn't make me happy. I didn't really enjoy any of them. They were fine. They weren't bad. But like, now I'm sitting here going like, holy shit, I love this. I'm like, I need to do that one again. And that's why I'm like, come on, push this baby. This is a great start to a new year. And ultimately, I think Harrowstorm installed and worked pretty well. Stark, you mentioned a little bit earlier, there were crashes going on in Cyrodiil. They're very well aware of this. I think they're doing patches for it. Probably shortly after this episode comes out, we're hoping there'll already be a patch, some of their quick, like, week after patches to try and fix it up. Can't guarantee that, but like, this was...
They usually do them a week after, don't they?
Yeah.
Usually something.
Yeah. Usually it's about a week. Because on PC, they don't have to run through certification. When it hits PC, if something...
by Sony and Xbox.
Yeah,
so if something goes wrong and when it hits PC, it can get fixed pretty cleanly.
That's a very good point, actually. And that's also something that a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, and it's something that people do get legitimately frustrated about. Like, some of the stuff... they get frustrated. They're like, why didn't you do this? You know, and then they go into hyperbole and general text. But there is a legitimate element to some of this where you can't see this stuff until it hits live. Like, it's not a problem on PTS for whatever reason. And then when you turn around, you put it on live and you've got millions of people on the server, something breaks that just simply doesn't happen when it's on PTS.
Correct.
So this stuff happens for PC. Like, we deal with these issues once in a while where it's like, okay, now the game's crashing fairly frequently. And it's, in this case, I think mostly, if you're seeing it in PvE, it's mostly add-on related. Like, there's out-of-date add-ons that are actually causing instability. And if it's Cyrodiil, then that's actually, Cyrodiil's having issues right now. And they're working on it.
And by the way, facetiously, if you're having add-ons crash, then you're the one with the problem. Because my 900 add-ons that are all out-of-date are still running fine. And I've had no crashes since the thing. So suck it.
My also, favorite I'm
gonna
crash.
I'm going to be that guy to people that complain at Zos about it's not working. The add-ons aren't made by Zos. There's a disclaimer for that when you upload them.
Yeah,
very true.
Also, when you turn them on, my favorite crash is the one where it's like you're quitting out and then it crashes. It's like, thanks, you got me there faster.
Well, that's good job. That's a mood there.
I love that one.
No, I was surprised. I mean, for an update that had to reinstall the game, and I think a lot of people were very afraid because this sounds like it. I guess it could have been so much worse than it was. I mean, it could have half installed games. It could have, but I didn't hear any of that.
Everything up, but I don't think it did. Yeah, we had some Teven problems. Cyrodiil has a lot of crashes. There's a few things here and there, some out of date add-ons and some other bits and pieces. But it's nothing out of the ordinary as far as bugs are concerned. Because when every time a patch goes live, like Stark said a little while ago, when you're testing on PTS, you've got a limited amount of players, and that dives dramatically within the first couple of days anyway. So it's not even a stress test for performance in terms of how many people are playing. When you put that on live and you got so many people at once, that's when they really get stress tested. And that's like, okay, we didn't see that.
Actually, it comes to mind, there's also a weird irony here. So this is a patch where, for most players, the thing they're going to see is performance improvement. I don't know about anybody else. Merkmeyer has habitually killed my frame rate.
Yes.
Basically, really? Since the word go. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it absolutely decimates it on PC. Crank it up a little bit. Crank your settings up a little bit. And go into Merkmeyer. It will eat your settings alive. Mm-hmm. And that's happened to me like ever since it launched. It's one of the reasons why it took me a while to go back, because I logged in, I got my the pet that you get for first entering there, and then I looked at it, it's like the frame rate was 12.
Oh. 12 FPS. Do you have the same issue with Shadowfen? Just out of interest?
No, just Merkmeyer.
Just not all the foliage and stuff like that.
I think it's the shadows. I actually think it's the shadow casting, but I'm not 100% sure. Any rate, so there's this thing where they're like, okay, dramatic performance increase. And I go in there and yeah, actually 8 frames. I'm up to in the 20s reliably outside of combat, which for Merkmeyer is freaking amazing. But in a right after a patch where it's like, okay, performance has increased. And it's the same time there's an event that's in a zone that kills your frame rate.
I'm going to say something outside of Merkmeyer performance wise and outside of Cyrodiil. I'm pretty impressed with it so far.
I'm very impressed with it.
It's been very smooth. Combat's been pretty good. There's a couple bugs, but there always will be. And I went to a Dolmen the other day, a very popular, extremely busy, over-farmed, oh my god, get to max level really quick Dolmen.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you get there, that's the one, when you get there, you can't see the people, you can't see the enemies. When you do finally see the people, they're all blacked out with no textures, and it crashes or lags or has really low frame rate, and there's loads and loads of stuff going on. You don't know what's happening. I ran to an extremely busy Dolmen the other day. There must have been around 50 players plus. I could see the textures on every single person. I could see every single ability. It was flawless. That, in comparison to before, is a dramatic improvement.
Oh, yeah.
So if they can line out the edges and the creases out of whatever's wrong with the other areas, like Merkmeyer or any of the block issues, because there's a couple there, and the stam issue, and then obviously Cyrodiil as well, if they can figure those out quite quickly enough to iron them out before they even land on console, they're going to have some really happy people.
That's the funny thing about this. Because we were going to the new dungeons, I was seeing frame rates above my refresh rate.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
so it's like this is, and even just overland content in base game areas, it's like it's hitting in the 40s, 50s, and 60s during combat. It's like, okay, I'm happy with this. It's just ironic that in the moment when they're talking about performance increase, it's also they've got an event going for a zone that is not kind performance.
Yeah, I mean, if you, on one side of it, they're kind of could take that as a stress test and say, look, this zone is full, now we can see the problem. But on another side of it, I don't think it was necessarily a completely smart move to run a big event on a laggy area.
Yeah.
While performance is running.
That's actually this gripe with Merkmeyer where it's just like that's that zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's that zone. But again, I've seen massive performance increases and people might also notice lower pings. Fun fact that Rich shared with us that if you see
mine is lower actually.
Yeah.
It's because it's not actually that your ping is lower per se. It has to do with how the game refreshes the graphics of the ping.
Oh yeah. You can
Tied to frame rate. It's weird.
My frame rates have increased a lot.
So
I don't normally have issues with frame rate to a certain extent. But I do stream off of the same system when I play on PC on live stream. Now, obviously, if you're playing off the same system as you're streaming off of, you are hurting your computer and it wants to know why you keep kicking it so hard. Now, that means I turn my graphics down a bit. And I don't have too much of an issue, but I do notice that there's a drop in comparison to when I'm playing it without any streaming going on. It's a dramatic increase. Now, I noticed recently while streaming, based on the settings I had before, the frame rate almost doubled.
Wow.
Yeah, it was big. While streaming, while playing the game, my frame rate was a much, much higher rate than it was before. So that was a stress test, because instead of just playing the game like normal, I was doing all the uploady, streamy stuff at the same time, and it was smooth as hell. It was really nice. I could probably put the graphics up now.
Do it. Yeah, I was laughing because I just keep kicking mine. I'm like, hey, look, let's crank everything and just make it slog under this huge load. So
on two separate systems, I would just crank it up to maximum and see what happens. Just
but kick it again.
The stream at the same time, that would it would just explode. But it's been doing really, really well.
I'm very impressed with it. God, Sark.
We've spent over a year going after the events at this point. Yeah. There's something that's been going on. Well, there's something that's been going on with the Merkmeyer celebration. Actually, I think the previous two also that is really nice.
Oh,
what's that?
the ticket payout is significantly higher than the amount to keep up.
Oh, okay.
With Merkmeyer, there's, I think it's 30 tickets available total. Like, there's enough to get three of the, it's actually probably a little higher than that, but there's enough to get three feathers or berries in addition to having a few tickets left over beyond that, which is really nice change from where they were last year. And that's actually been a pattern with the last couple of events. So it hasn't been as brutal in the, if you did not participate in every day of this event, you are locked out from getting
this. Is that due to the same reason they did the daily rewards, or is that done on purpose?
No, that predates the daily reward change. Oh, that goes back. Yeah, that was going on with the, I think that started with the Christmas event last year with New Life, because they missed an event. So New Life had its ticket payouts ramped up. The Undaunted Festival just dumped out. So then after that, Undaunted Festival without a berry at all was increased it was still running at a higher rate to begin with. And then since then, all the subsequent events have been aimed at least 30 tickets, because it's been three per day when they would have usually been two per day. There is one problem, though, with Merkmeyer, and this was an issue with the, I think it was the Dragon event. It out on drops, so you see people missing the ticket pickup.
Oh, yeah.
They just will not. Oh, did I just drop out completely?
No, we still have you here, Stark. You're good. We lost you for a sec, but Okay, sorry, we had to reconnect. Stark, go ahead.
Yeah. The problem with this, with both this and the Merkmeyer event and the previous one, the tickets are picked up as loot items. So if you miss looting your chance to get tickets during the event, during that day, you miss out on that day entirely.
Mm.
It's also caused problems in this case where if you're in a group and you miss that pickup because you're in a delve, you're going through the delve, and one of your party members just rushes ahead and kills the boss and triggers the ticket drop. If you don't get there in time to get that ticket drop, you're screwed.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really unfortunate. I do think that with the structure of the Merkmeyer event, it really should have been tied to quest payouts.
Hmm.
Because that with quest payouts, there's no point of failure aside from having a full ticket inventory. With this, potentially, a party member could wax a mosquito. You don't see it, like the whatever it is, the kava or whatever. And then you just keep going, and that was your tickets for the day. And that's not a good situation.
No, that shouldn't be that way.
So,
and
it's unfortunate, because on the other hand, like, this actually did some really nice things to clean up the problems in the past of missing out on tickets entirely. Because you just didn't have enough tickets to get the stuff you're wanting and then missing out on the mount. That's not as much of an issue this season, but yeah.
Overall, I think this last little bit for them, this last like week, 2 weeks, whatever, has been really good. I think there have been some small, unfortunate missteps that just, it's not that anything was really bad. It's just that they may not have capitalized on the Harris Storm marketing. Again, the Merkmeyer celebration comes a lot of questions, questionable timing, questionable all of it. But again, I just think those events need overlooked. But I think it's kind of a pretty good place to call it here, because PAX, again, wonderful. Like Zyno and I said, some more Harris Storm announcements would have been cool there. That would have been
plugged
it a lot. Mm. Now, hey, I did want to say something to you guys, because I don't know if you've seen, and this is more for the people that are going to do BE3, but the game developer conference, whatever their thing is, got postponed because of the concerns of the coronavirus stuff. So again, to any of our friends that are like looking at flying to BE3, just keep that in mind, that, you know, if you're getting tickets or anything, we really don't know right now. And I don't think it's like time to overreact, but also just keep that in mind if you're planning for the summer, planning for any of those, if you're doing QuakeCon, any of that stuff, just maybe don't buy your tickets too early. I don't know. Is that good advice?
Yeah,
be safe.
Be safe. Yeah, be safe. Be careful. Try to make sure you keep your hands clean. Keep track of what you're touching. Don't touch your face when you're in public. Like the normal hygiene stuff, because this is nasty. But honestly, like the coronavirus thing is just going to be, it's a lot larger than just this. And yeah,
you're thinking it's going to get, because Washington had their case, right? Was that the first casualty?
We've had first death in the U.S. was. Yeah, within about 20 miles of me. So that's a fun thought.
Specifically, Stark, be safe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's worrying because I think Washington State actually declared state of emergency today because of this.
You know, I don't say this. I say this for our listeners, not for, sorry, ZeniMax, if this ends up making you have less of a turnout. But I got to say, just for the safety of everyone, you know, if you don't need to go to an event this year, you really might want to consider doing it next. Like, I don't mean to screw over any game or anything like that. Like, I'm really glad I got to go to Vegas before this happened. But I was planning on going to BE3, but honestly, GDC getting postponed and stuff has put that to a big, solid question mark. Like, it was an almost check mark, and now it's like, ooh, do I invest money and then find out that, you know, I lose it all? Like, that to me is a little rough when it comes to flights and hotels and all that stuff. So just be safe. Don't go anywhere you don't need to if you can. So there's your health warning from non-health professionals. How about that? And on that note, you guys, why don't we go through on that fun note? Yes. Stay healthy and alive for us, everyone. We love talking to you and doing all this. On that fun note, let's give our locations that everyone can find us for the week. Zyno, do you want to take it away first?
ZynoGaming.com for the website. And YouTube, as you just put forward, /ZynoGaming, you'll find me there. Everything else is pretty much linked on the website, but there's also Twitch and Twitter and Facebook, which I think is just /Zynode.
You go to his website. This is exactly, you go to his website and you actually stare. You stare right at all the icons that say what his different links are. And I want you to hover over every one of them and open them all in a different tab. Yeah. You just keep what control left clicking on all of his buttons and then follow, exactly. subscribe, follow.
You have a guide page open, you have a Patreon page open, you have a YouTube page open.
Wow.
Then you have Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and then you just Google my name for the hell of it as well.
You're gonna need that performance update to handle all the tabs.
Eight windows minimum.
And Stark, where can they find you?
You can find me on howtofightright.com and also howtofightright at Tumblr. And you can find me there Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Heck yeah. And then I'm over at twitch.tv/KyleDempsterStudios. I'm doing Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday now, all starting at 3 p.m. Eastern time. I finally found my sweet spot. And I got to thank everyone out there for coming by. They really supported me super, super well during a subathon. So now I have to dye my hair blue.
Yeah, but on the bright side, you get to sleep again. It's not going to be another 8 days in a row of never sleeping.
12-hour streams. Yeah, that was, yeah. They gave me about 8 days of 12-hour streams. We did like 12 was the cap, and then the rest of it would roll over. So they like bought themselves a hell of a lot up front. And then at the end, they're like, oh no, there's only 2 hours left. And then like kaplow. And I was like, well, there I was not getting my hair dyed. And now I will definitely be repping the covenant. So look out.
You had somebody just dump 200 subs on you, didn't you?
Yeah, long lost ESO friend that hadn't been around for probably, I don't know. I don't know if they were here past elsewhere. They may have done elsewhere and then bailed before the Q3 stuff. I don't know. But they came back around. You're right. So that was very kind of them. And thank you to everyone that's over on the YouTube checking that out, youtube.com/KyleDempsterStudios. At the behest of Zynode and all the knowledge he's given me, I've been doing that. And I've been redoing the Patreon, and that's been taking off. So if anyone wants to check that out, patreon.com/KyleDempsterStudios. And all the links are below. So you don't need to like listen and actually copy these. You can just literally, again, click on all the links. If you're on YouTube, they're there. And if you're on the podcast player, just go to your show notes. The email, if you want to send us questions or anything for the show, is thetenantspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to see those. We've just gotten a lot of nice compliments all around on all the stuff. I've seen people promoting this show to new players. I've seen that over on Reddit, and I've seen it in game, people promoting the Tenants to new players. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. It really, really, really helps get the word out there. And thank you, by the way, to all of our amazing podcast friends out there in the community. Like, seriously, they're all amazing. So go please check out. I mean, we got so many, but Lore Seekers guys were on here, Robots Radio's out there. There's so many cool people. So please, 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 please dive in, take a listen. Our friends are great. And we will see you guys next When?
The week after. Oh, wait. This is, if we're running this early, then it's going to be 3 weeks out.
You know what? We'll see you on a mysterious date in the near future.
So expect us when you see us.
Until then, just don't get stabbed by the Dark Brotherhood. Okay, bye. Don't
Take
get
care.
Shanked bye. Was my advice. Yeah, bye.